This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. We've been talking the past several times about marriages for those who love God and one another, and in particular about reasons why marriages fail. I hope that you've heard all of these preceding lessons because we've talked about a number of reasons why marriages fail. We pick up our study today by noting that some marriages fail because the husband and wife are not united in Christ. The marriage may not end in divorce, but it fails nevertheless. It fails to be what God would have it ideally to be. It is obvious, or at least it should be obvious to all, that if one of the partners in a marriage truly loves the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizes the Bible and the Word of God and tries to live by it, but the other does not, then there will be conflict. If one person truly loves the Lord and the other does not, since each needs the other in spiritual development, the result cannot be less than that which is desired. If the wife is a devoted Christian and she wishes to have an active part in the work of the church, and her husband is not even a Christian, obviously they cannot share the most important part of her life. A Christian whose partner is not a Christian brings children into the world to be raised at least in part by one who is not a Christian. Why would a Christian want his children to be taught by one who is not? Why would one who truly loves the Lord want to share this most intimate of relationships with one who does not truly love the Lord? I realize that some marriages are relatively happy, but would anyone say that such a marriage is ideal? I urge every person to think seriously and prayerfully before even dating those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, we know that if one is married to one who isn't a Christian, they ought to do their very best to live the Christian life before them, and to do as Peter indicated in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, that the wife may, by her manner of life, that is simply by the way she lives, by showing Christ in her life, win her husband without the word. Now, that doesn't mean that anybody can ever become a Christian without learning and obeying the truth, but it does mean that the influence of a Christian life can be truly great on a marriage partner. So, to every Christian who is married to one who isn't, to everyone who loves the Lord and is married to someone who doesn't, pray for him every day, pray for yourself to live the Christian life, to help them to see Christ in you. Remember that Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians in the 2 Corinthian letter, chapter 3, made clear that each of us is a sort of letter, that is, each of us who is a Christian, a sort of a letter or epistle which writes about Christ. He said to them, "You are our epistle, known and read of all men." And certainly if anybody reads our lives, it is one's husband or one's wife. I realize sometimes that some marriages, which are not made up of both being Christians, can result in the one who is not a Christian being converted and being baptized into Christ. And sometimes these marriages eventually turn out to be among the most happy. But still, it is a risky business at best, and I urge young people to think about, to be willing to look forward down the road as they think about being married, to marry someone who really loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian ought to spend a great deal of time in prayer before making the decision about marriage. Remember, when you marry someone who doesn't love the Lord, he may never become a Christian. This means that during all of your married life, you can never really worship together. You can never really pray together. But if you marry someone who is not a Christian, then you should do the best to live as you have been taught in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 and 2, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, as I've already indicated. Now we come to another reason why some marriages fail. And that is, some marriages fail because the husband does not love the wife as Christ loved the church. I've already talked about the fact that sometimes wives try to become the leader in the family and sort of overrun the husband, whereas the Bible teaches that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ also is the head of the church. But the wife would not fear, surely, to submit herself to a man who loved her as Christ loved the church. But our time is up for now. Please be with us tomorrow as we discuss that point in some detail.